Hi, this is Carlos Solorzano, and I'm really excited to be part of the Marian Summit. And I wanted to share a few thoughts regarding how I feel the Blessed Mother, as well as the Holy Family, can be a great influence on our families, especially during times of struggle or challenge. So what I'd like to do is begin with prayer. I want to ask our Blessed Mother to be with us, to guide us, and to really move our hearts as we take the time to sit with a lot of different speakers and within ourselves in prayer, to understand what the different messages that she would want for us to know, both from this summit as well as from the gospel that, of course, is centered around her son. So let's begin. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death, amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Anyway, just a brief introduction. I am a theology teacher from Tucson, Arizona. I work at St. Augustine Catholic High School on the east side of Tucson. This is actually my 27th year of teaching theology. I've taught mainly at the high school level, as well as some philosophy and ethics courses at the college level in the past. I'm also part of Catholic Speakers Organization, so if there's ever a need for me to come to your communities and or perhaps a virtual meeting that you'd be interested in, you can contact them to get in touch with me. Anyway, so let's begin. So one of the things that I find interesting about biblical studies is that while we spend time focusing on the context of the message, which of course includes the culture at the time of, say, in the Gospels of Jesus' life and the world he lived in, I sometimes reflect on the fact that God allowed him to be a Jewish man in the Jewish world. Because I think sometimes that's where culture can teach us a lot as far as what God wants us to know about ourselves as well as family. For example, when we study the saints, a lot of times we'll also learn a lot about the world that they lived in. And of course, many of them were not Jewish or from that part of the world. So we do learn a lot about our faith and God's message through their lives, but as well as the culture in which they lived. The reason why I bring that up is because a couple years ago, we know we were celebrating the year of St. Joseph. And that was a time that we as a church spent a lot of time learning about St. Joseph. And I was blessed to have been asked to do a couple of presentations on St. Joseph. So it caused me to have to look a lot into the world that he lived in, and I learned a lot about what God wants all of us to know as men, be, you know, good men of faith. I bring that up because of the fact that we know that Mary was betrothed to Joseph. Of course, the betrothal process was much different than the engagement process, where there was already a sense of commitment that they had made because they, of course, would have had the wedding date planned at that point, which is why Joseph sought to divorce her quietly, because at that point there was already a commitment made. But the one thing that I would like to bring up, especially based on the fact of the world that they lived in, is obviously marriage is a difficult task, but we also realize that it was always difficult depending where you lived. Like, for example, while we live in the modern ages, there were challenges that we would not have had as far as our lifestyle goes in the ancient world. So Mary and Joseph were betrothed knowing they were going to go into this difficult life together. I think that's one of the things that we as Catholics have to understand is that, you know, our church does teach a lot about suffering and how there is such a thing called good suffering. So there are times that we have to embrace that suffering so we can get through the challenges in our lives. Our culture, on the other hand, tries to sell this message saying, well, you get married, you're going to be happy. This person's supposed to make you happy, and that's it. That's not how it works. You know, my own marriage, I've been married over 25 years now. You know, there's been a lot of challenges. There's been a lot of struggle. There's been a lot of joy as well. And what I've also learned from my parents, from my in-laws, from my grandparents, is that no marriage is without struggle. So over the years, when I teach marriage to the high school students, I let them know, I go, look, you're going to have the most difficult times of your life probably with this person. But the beautiful part about it is they want to be there with you. You know, they're going to share their struggles with you. You're going to share their struggles with them. Like, for example, I tell them how the day I found out that my father had passed away, my mother had called my house to tell me, and my wife is the one to answer the phone. And it was later in the evening, so we both knew why she called. There you have it. She was part of that suffering that I went through. So I kind of, one of the recent things I've been telling my students this year is I said, the person you marry is probably going to be the person you have the most uncomfortable conversations with in your life. Hence, let's move forward. Imagine Mary telling Joseph about being pregnant with a child conceived by the Holy Spirit. Scripture says Joseph was a righteous man, and as we know, it's not that is not something that is used to describe everyone in the Bible. You have Abraham, you have Joseph. They both communicate even with God through some type of divine experience. Abraham on the mountain and Joseph through a dream. Both experiences in biblical language are symbols of a divine encounter. Obviously, Joseph's dream was God also directing him, but he still would have to take on that burden, not only of accepting a child that was not his, but him being a righteous Jew, knowing what the truth of Messiah's life, it was not going to be an easy life. And he loved Mary enough, obviously, to go through that, but he also could understand that that was a calling he received from God. Now, on the other hand, that struggle and that difficulty in accepting this challenge, we think sometimes, how did that affect his marriage with Mary? How would Mary see her husband at that point? He believed what she said, but her also knowing of his dream, she also could see that God reached out to him in the same, in a different way, but they both were spoken to by God. So therefore, they can see that this task they were given, God has called both of them to it. So right then and there, that is something that would strengthen their marriage. So for example, this has to do with their firstborn child. When we have children, we do not know what experiences we're going to have. Some of us are born with children with disabilities. And of course, that can also include not just like a mental or physical disability, but a learning disability. Some of the biggest struggles that children go through in life is school. And sometimes they don't look at themselves in a very positive way, and they need parents that are going to let them know that we love you regardless if you're the best math student in the school. Maybe you're not going to have the highest GPA in the school because you struggle in certain subjects. And that can be very difficult for a young person. They have goals. Maybe they want to be valedictorian. Maybe they want to be on the honor roll. Maybe they're thinking about scholarships for college. So they feel the pressure. And the parents remind, look, we know who you are. And this is part of your struggle. It's a struggle that we not only accept, but we'll take part in. So in that case, you see the parents working together with the child, but then you think now at that point, how would the child respond knowing the parents love them and value them in that way? As a teacher at the high school level, it's been actually heartbreaking for me sometimes to watch the way some students feel about themselves because their parents are so demanding when it comes to their grades. And of course, in some cases, you have kids where the way they respond to that is not good. Some of them may turn to drugs and alcohol, and sadly, because of certain demands, whether culturally or in terms of personally, they may even turn to suicide. The flight to Egypt kind of reminds us that sometimes in life things don't turn out the way you expect. So for some of us, it could be a job loss, it could be sickness. I mean, I'm sure we all know someone or of someone who died of COVID. And of course, that's still part of our reality, and it still hurts many of us to this day. And those are unexpected things. I mean, 5 years ago, I don't think any of us thought there was going to be a pandemic. Sometimes we have unexpected surprises when it comes to kids. Like, for example, recently, both my wife and I, my wife's a principal at a Catholic school. We've had situations at our schools where certain people were removed from the school because of certain behaviors. It was shocking to all of us, but it was also something that we needed to deal with. And it can be very painful for some people, the loss of a teacher, the loss of a friend that you go to school with. Sometimes, it's a lost loved one that we have in one way or another, whether it is through death or say if there's some type of falling out and say someone's closest sibling or for a child's case, favorite uncle or aunt is no longer involved in their life. It can be very difficult. Another thing too would be finding in the temple. And here's Jesus, proclaiming to both Joseph and Mary, I am in my father's house. Did you not know I'd be in my father's house? Our children are going to start at one point to tell us who they are. And a lot of times, we think a lot, especially in today's world, obviously a child's sexuality could be a big thing, or a child struggling with addiction is another big thing. But a lot of times it can be more than that. Like, maybe they want to choose a career that we didn't expect. Because of the cost of college now, I have a lot of students who, for example, tell their parents, I don't think I want to go to college because it costs a lot. The pressure of having to get good grades with that type of loan, et cetera. I don't want to put you guys in that kind of debt. School's been hard for me. I don't want to keep going through that. I'd rather find another way to make a living. Maybe it's not what we thought would happen with our kid or hope for, but that may be who they are. Or maybe they have an interest that we that surprises us. That's something that we don't necessarily think is good for them, but sometimes you got to ask yourself, are they happy? I mean, maybe they want to work, they want to choose a trade or choose a military or whatever. Maybe they want to serve their country in the military. That's a very noble idea. Again, something that we can look at and say, we have to look at this child and ask what is it that they really feel is their calling. And of course, that would lead to the moment Jesus went off into the desert. Like, here we go. There, I was when I did a recent Zoom meeting with Anne and some people through her foundation. We shared a picture of a painting where Jesus is leaving to go to the desert, and it's a very, very emotional picture. But there was that moment where it's time to say goodbye. It's time to let them go. And whether you're slowly letting the leash go with the kids, and letting them find themselves to them moving out. But also, I think what we're missing in a lot of marriages today too is that the spouses themselves need to find their own identity. Like, I mean, you love to do things together and you love to have that experience of sharing things together, but you also have to be willing to let them stretch and be happy with things they like to do. Like, you may have similar interests, you may have different interests, but they have to have that freedom to be who they are. It could be something like a hobby they have. Maybe one of you likes to travel more than the other. Maybe one of you has a certain interest in certain movies or activities that the other doesn't. But you still, instead of putting a guilt trip on each other and saying, well, you want to do things without me, no, let understand that they need to find to have that space, as do we ourselves. Okay, because when we're all living that full life, then we're happy. Finally, because the time just flies with these video presentations, focusing on the crucifixion. That, Mary, as I've said in a number of talks I've given, I feel that the hardest thing she probably had to go through at that moment was having to essentially deny every part of her motherhood to Jesus, to stand there and let him die on the cross, knowing it was God's will, to have to accept the fact that he had to go through this. My mother used to always tell me the hardest thing for a parent is when your child is hurting and there's nothing you can do for them. And sometimes you have to watch them struggle, whether it's their early years and they're having some type of, childhood struggle. Of course, teen years can be difficult as well. And that's, they're still a child, but they're also trying to grow up and they want to figure things out for themselves. And sometimes, it's hard for us to pull back and give them that space. But we also remember from growing up too that we had to fail, we had to fall on our face, we had to live the human experience. And by doing that, we grew, we learned, we got better, we became better people. And for some of us, depending on the way we lived our lives, that may have been the breaking point that really caused us to seek God, to want to reach out to the Lord and say, okay, I can't do this on my own. For some of us who had a faith struggle, maybe even walked away from our faith for a while, that was the thing that brought us back. Now, yeah, it would be heartbreaking for your child to leave the church or to have a morality that may not agree with yours, to question things that are so sacred to all of us. But we have to sometimes have patience and trust the child as well as the Lord to remind ourselves that this could be the thing that leads them on their journey to find the truth, but also a reason for them to be faithful to our Lord and to our Catholic faith, which in turns would make them a better Christian, thus the person we wanted them to be when we began sharing our faith with them. And also strengthening our faith because we will see how God works in our lives, in our children's lives, and that God was faithful to us as we held on to him and trusted in his promises to love us and take care of us. So with that, I bid you all farewell. Have a wonderful summit. I wish you all the best with your families. And remember that we can always turn to our Blessed Mother as an example and for someone that we can pray to when we need extra guidance to know God's will in terms of the struggles that we're encountering. Thank you, and God bless you all.